I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on her. She didn't seem to care. She sat there and smiled at me. Then I knew,
I knew
she could make me happy.
Happy.
She could make me very
happy.
Flowers in her hair.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live. This show airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live, Nancy and Lisa.
Hi, everyone. It's Nancy. We're so excited to be broadcasting live on Artist First World Radio Network. Did you know that we reach over 245 million listeners in 135 nations, including our military? So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We're thrilled you joined us. It's time to sit back, relax, and enjoy some chit-chat. Our guest tonight, Bob Castle, he's going to tell us about the film Family Band, The Castle Story. And later, we're joined by Laura Geller of Laura Geller Makeup. Lisa and Betty Ann, I have been on pins and needles all week waiting to hear about you two. You've been to New York City Fashion Week. Tell me about it.
Believe it. Well, Betty Ann got us in. I got to tell you, Betty Ann's our correspondent, and she does all our investigative stuff, and she's excellent at it. She got us in the Fashion Week, didn't you, Betty Ann?
Yeah, I was determined, and I did it. Well, we were backstage.
Oh,
we didn't actually get into
cool.
a show, but we were backstage, and we got to see all the goings on. The models were back there having their makeup done, their hair done, and their nails done. And the designer came in, Tracy Reese, and Mally came in, and she demonstrated the look that Tracy and Mally decided the show was going to have. And we watched as she put the makeup on the one model, and it was like, you know, it's really interesting. Really
let's
cool. She had some really beautiful makeup, huh?
Let's back up.
Yeah.
A let's talk about the Gestapo at the door. First of
oh
all.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's at the Lincoln Center. It's at the Lincoln Center. Let's set the
yeah.
scene here. It was freezing cold, and it was, the winds were whipping around. So we arrive, and like just to see the signs, Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week, like, oh, my God, we're here. We're like in Disneyland. We're like, oh. So then,
it was,
you know, then we had to go to walk around to the tent. It's like a tent, right? It was a tent.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was an actual tent with heat inside. Then we go in. We
yep.
were 15 minutes early, but this Gestapo guy at the door was just like, you can't be here. You got to come back. I was like, oh,
well,
my God.
They were
God.
Really strict.
Light up.
Yeah. It was really close quarters, though. I mean, they were really tight, and you could not get in unless it was exactly your time to be in there. So we really had to wait, like, for the exact moment. And then we got our press passes, and we went back. And then it was, like, really nice. You know, everybody was very nice back there.
Very nice. Everybody was very... We didn't feel uncomfortable. We didn't feel out of place. We didn't feel like we were intruding at all. It was really... Once we got in, you know, past this guy, the guard, it was fabulous. What I thought was so cool was the models all back there. They're like the models you actually see in Vogue. Tall. Real, real tall and real, real skinny with that look. They just had that look. And,
oh,
and
yeah.
How about those ones? They're sitting. The models are sitting in a chair. Picture this, right? They have somebody at their feet, two people at their feet doing their pedicure. Somebody's filing their nails. Somebody's working on their hair.
Wow.
All at one time in this cramped quarters.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
But what amazed me because, and I don't know why I was amazed. I mean, I have seen models before, but they... each model is picked by the designer for the look that they want for their particular show. And each one of these models, they all had childlike face. Very, like, didn't they look like they were tall, skinny children?
They were, I bet you they were maybe 15 or 16 years old.
Yeah, really young-looking girls.
That's a prime time for a model.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous, you know, they all had their own, like, really unique look.
Very unique.
And, really pretty girls. But it was cool. And then Mally came in, you know, Mally's larger than life. And she demonstrated the look, and she's, you know, had command of the room, and it was fun. And then we were told to leave because it was over. We had to hand our passes to somebody else.
Yeah. Mally is like a rock star, though. When she walked in, like, she's so cute. She is adorable. She is just gorgeous. She's the most gorgeous skin I've ever seen. It almost looks airbrushed in person. It just, she's beautiful. She walks in, she's like peppy and smiley and those beautiful teeth and that hair, and she's so sharp, and she just, like, everybody just was like, wowed by her.
She walks in, she's got the camera crew following her, too. The cameras are flashing. She's got the camera, you know, they're following her around. But it was a lot of fun. It was a very nice experience, and it was fun to get back there. And the makeup that she used was really nice makeup. They had, like, a beautiful eyeliner that was a blue. It was called Caribbean Sea. Really pretty. And they had, like, a light lip. It wasn't, like, the bright reds that we've seen. It was more like a natural look. In fact, she said something like she wanted the lips to actually look like your own lips with just a little extra something. So, I mean, they had, like, this unique look, and the girls were just gorgeous. So, it was fun. Yeah, I can't wait to do it again.
And that, you know what product I like? I like that airbrush blush and the highlighter duo.
Mm-hmm.
That makes your, because you put the blush on, and then you put the highlighter, like, underneath your eyes, and it lifts everything up. Everything up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'd like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, girls, we're going to go again in September, I hope. That'd be great fun to join you the next time.
Oh, absolutely. Felt bad you couldn't be with us.
Well, that's okay. You know, I had to do some reporting out here in Minnesota.
Yep. Yeah.
Always fun.
And speaking of September, we have something else coming up in September. Come on, Nancy, tell them what we just heard off the air.
Oh, my gosh. Get ready, all you Chit Chat Cafe Live fans. The Castles are going to be back at B.B. King's in New York City. And remember, we were the Chit Chat Girls live on the stage dancing.
That's something. It was fun, but seeing the video, I'd like to forget it because I had white pants on, and it wasn't a flattering angle.
Oh, well, next year you're going to have to wear black pants.
I'm wearing black, all black next time like I usually do. Well,
We want cheerleader outfits.
Oh, we've got them. We have them.
We're bringing up.
I know you do.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Well, Bob, we'd like to introduce you, of course, to everybody. He's from the iconic 60s group, the Calcells. And now they have a documentary out, isn't that correct?
Well, we have it out. It's in film festivals right now, which means we're looking for distribution like everybody else in a film festival. But you can see clips of it on our website, and you can go to a film festival. I don't know when the next one is. We just were in the Santa Barbara Film Festival. It's won some awards. It got the best documentary at the Rhode Island International Film Festival, and got some award up in New Hampshire. I didn't go to New Hampshire, but we were in Rhode Island. The film festival world is fascinating. It's a whole new world unto itself that, unless you have a reason to go in there, you probably don't even know what's going on. These festivals are a big deal. I mean, you know, Sundance is the Ed Sullivan Show of the film festivals, probably. But every state has many film festivals. It's quite amazing.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Now,
Will
we be able to... When can we see this film?
Is it a documentary
or is it a film? What?
No, it's a film. It's an hour and a half. And
okay.
Yeah, it'll end up in a jewel case with, you know, your typical documentary with footage that didn't get in the movie. And we do all these interviews, and you can only use there's literally over a hundred hours. I mean, it just took 7 years to finish. I mean, part of that is we shut it down for a couple of years because the first crew we were involved with got a little enamored with our father, our dad, who is kind of this Shakespearean tragic figure in the whole thing, amongst others. But he was a rough and tumble guy, and you know, when we first started this, a documentary, it's kind of like psych sessions. It's like therapy, and it's like, oh, so draining. But anyway, so we had to let one crew go because we felt like we were in our dad's documentary than our dad was in our documentary, because he was a rough Navy guy, and you know, like a la, just like the Brian Wilson's dad, the Wilson's father, and the Jackson's father. What is it with these dads? But our dad, he was a little over the top. He was a little more acute and a little more intense than those other dads. And he was just, I mean, they had seven kids when they're 17 and 16. And, you know, by the time they're seven kids in what, 7.5 years, it seems. But because there were four of us in diapers, from what I'm told. And that's a rough call, you know. And he didn't know what to do with us. So he treated us like we were in the Navy. And that just didn't work. Especially with Susan, the youngest of seven, and she—that didn't work at all. He was not good with Susan. He was a bad guy.
So you don't have to go back to your father.
But wait, can you see it? Well, you know, there'll be publicity, and we were on Entertainment Tonight last weekend, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool piece they did on it, and you know, eventually we'll get out there in the stores, and you know, we're talking to different. We're waiting to hear from Playtone. Playtone is a company that Tom Hanks set up to make movies. And there's interest in turning this documentary into a movie. And we've been talking with a woman named Allison Anders, who's a talented writer, and there's a connection with HBO. And so you're going to see it out there eventually, all pretty and done, and get it on the website and get it on all the places you buy stuff. But not right now. We're still in the film festival phase of this, which is, I guess, what you do with documentaries. Because I asked him, I said, well, what do we do with a documentary? I mean, it'd be good for the family, you know, but what else do you do with it? Well, it can turn into a movie, you can put it with other things in a jewel case with some outtakes and make it a fun package. And I go, okay, well, let's do a documentary. And at first, we told him no for so long. This woman, Louise Palanker, she's the director, she kept coming to my pub, where I sing as a solo artist in California, saying, hey, we want to do a documentary on your family. And I'm going, she doesn't even know my family.
That's really but, interesting, though.
Yeah, and she knew.
Your siblings are all okay with doing that? Everybody was on board with it?
No, not at first. See, at first I told her no, that we really weren't interested in that. And it wasn't that we weren't interested. It was just like, what for? Was our attitude, like, why, you know? And this woman kept coming, and she kept coming back another night. Look, we really want to do this. We think you should have this done. And we just want to know how you got on the Ed Sullivan Show. And I thought, well, that's innocent enough. We'll do a little documentary about these little grade school and high school kids in Rhode Island that got famous and went on the Ed Sullivan Show. That sounds good. But boy, once they got wind of the truth of the matter, this thing really got into high gear and took a long time to do. And they really did a good job, I must say, because once you start opening the floodgates and once we start talking with each other and explaining what the heck happened, it actually is an interesting story.
Hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, you guys are so great. We love you guys, really. You're so nice.
Well, you know, on September 17th, that's the Monday night, we're at B.B. King's, and you must have your second annual performance with us.
We will. I'm wearing black this time, and we're bringing our pom-poms.
Yeah, you said you were bringing pom-poms the last time, okay?
No, we'll bring them this time.
There were no pom-poms. You know, oh, yeah.
We're going to do rockette kicks this time.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Listen, I'm telling you something. Now, you better be ready, because this one's going on YouTube.
Oh.
So you better dress right.
And what song are
you
going to have this time?
Huh?
Oh, no.
Yeah, don't.
The hair.
Yes.
What song do you think this time?
Oh, well, you can pick one if you want. If
all right.
You don't care. we could do the Ray in the Park and other things, the Flower Girl.
I love that
you
one.
Can
that's
be,
my favorite.
You can be hippies, you know. But,
can you sing for us real quick? I love when you sing to us on the air. Just real quick.
What's that?
Sing to us real quick.
The Ray in the Park.
I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on her. I don't do this for anyone. She didn't seem to care, especially without a guitar.
She sat
there and smiled at me. Dun, 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 dun.
Come on,
anyway.
Girl. But I knew.
Oh, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I didn't know you knew. It's funny, you know, when we recorded that song, we lived at 888 8th Avenue in New York City. Is what?
Wow.
Wow.
Who wrote your songs? Did you guys write your own songs?
What's that?
Did you write your own songs?
Well, we wrote many songs, but not the big money makers like The Rain in the Park and other things, or Hair. I mean, Hair was clearly, that was written by these three guys that wrote everything from the Broadway musical, Aquarius, and Easy to Be Hard, and Good Morning Starshine, and Hair. God, they must have made a killing on that thing. I mean, they had like five number one records, or five in the top ten at the same time, between The Fifth Dimension and Us and Three Dog Night and Oliver, and it was an amazing scene, that Hair. But anyway, I was going to tell you, we were living in New York when we recorded, and we recorded, on, I think it was on 7th Avenue, A&R Recorders. A&R was a great studio back then. And we just stayed up all night. There were nine in my family, you know, seven kids and the parents. At that time, the nine of us were living in a two-bedroom apartment in New York. Yeah. Because, I mean, we didn't have any money. We didn't make it yet. But we're still recording, you know. But thank God. Thank God, The Rain in the Park and other things, you know, it was a big hit. I mean, I have mixed feelings about that hit, because it was great that it put us on the map, but just before that came out is when they put our mother in our rock band. So I was still reeling from that, and then we had a hit record with her, you know, after,
oh, wow.
when we were in high school, we were on two labels. We were on Joda and Mercury Phillips, and put three or four records out that tanked. I mean, did nothing. I mean, we're just kids. And then Mom joins the group, which was just, I mean, I don't know. We're teenage guys. It was a horrible, horrible thing that happened. But, I mean, in retrospect, and I love my mom. I mean, she's dead now, so it's okay. I can talk about her. But, and what I really felt. Because, you know, back in the late 60s, this was going to be the most uncool thing that could have ever happened to anybody. And it happened to us. And then we had this hit record. But then it was good. Then it was like, you know, the Partridge Family came about because of it eventually. So, you know, it was all good once it came down. And then once they put Mom in, I mean, they're going to put Susan in, our sister. When she turned seven, in she came, you know, singing, hello, hello, I like your smile. I mean, this is what we're doing in our shows now. You know, me and Bill were going nuts. But you can't argue with a successful formula, and I got to hand it to MGM that having Mom in was a pretty slick move. It did make us different from everyone else.
Well, Bob, this is Betty Ann. How are you?
Hi, Betty Ann. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. When your mom joined your group, did that kind of chase the groupies away?
No, Dad was real good at doing that.
See,
Dad, the threat to my dad, the big threat to my dad was girls. And and they were going to screw it all up. This is his thinking, you know. And look, this is going on at a young age. I never got to, in high school, this guy was like, oh, he was just on it, you know. And any girls that got close, he, you know, keep an eye on that one. And he just would not have it. And that was all the way through our career, even when we got famous. He just put a ring around us. Nobody could get to us, honestly. And it wasn't healthy, because, I mean, come on, we're guys, for crying out loud. And I didn't know anything about girls. It was hilarious, because he never told me anything. I mean, my talk with my dad about the facts of life was when I was in seventh grade, and he walked by the kitchen table and said, you know how babies are born? And I was so afraid of the guy, I figured I'd better say yes to this. This sounds like a yes question.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said yes. I didn't know anything. I have to laugh at that now, honestly. Because, you know, then the first time when I got married, you know, he's all upset. You know, my sons don't date, they get married. And I go, yeah, I wonder why. But it was, yeah, he thought any girls were going to be our downfall. And no girls allowed.
Oh, and we didn't have the nerve. Didn't cancel, like, date or anything?
No, yeah.
No date?
We weren't allowed to date. Is that what you asked about dating?
When you got married?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about my brothers, but, well, not when I got married, but when I met the woman that I did marry and found out what the heck was going on out there in the world. And listen, this is at 19. You know what I'm saying? This guy, he was so afraid of that kind of stuff that it would ruin the plan. And actually, he ruined the plan, you know. Is what happened.
Oh, boy.
And
so that... In the 70s, that was like the dawn of, you know, everybody...
The whole sexual revolution. Free love. You know, I'm going, free love?
Free love.
What's free love? You know, it's like, oh, my God. I think of it now, and it's kind of embarrassing, you know, because you're an older guy.
I wouldn't say embarrassing, but I do think that you missed out on a lot of fun.
Oh, geez, believe me.
Of the world, not getting all the girls.
No, look, when we were on tour, you didn't dare go anywhere. And we didn't get to go out. We didn't get to go have fun. I mean,
no parties or dances?
No parties.
Oh.
Nothing. And, of course, you know, that's only going to hold for so long when you have six sons. And
handsome guys with hormones.
Thank you.
Yes.
The handsome part, but this imploded on him, and of course it was going to, you know, there was going to be rebellion because there's rebellion anyway with teenage sons in families, especially in the late 60s, and once we started that, it was going to unravel. And it's too bad because my daddy, he was so crazy. You know, we could have had a longer career, we could have had more hits. We're sure of that, but he just. I mean, look. I'll give you one example, then we can get off Dad. Ed Sullivan loved us. Ed Sullivan, for your listeners who are young, that was the biggest TV show you could get to in the late 60s. It was the top of the mountain. It was live, and everybody watched it. Remember back then, all of us watched the same shows. We listened to the same radio station, and when you were famous, you were famous with everybody in the country. That's not that way anymore, but it was that way back then. Ed Sullivan loved us. He made a 10-show deal. 10 shows were going to be on Ed Sullivan 10 times. The Beatles were only on 3. Well, that only lasted 2 shows because my dad got in a fight with Ed Sullivan's son-in-law over some microphone level or something.
Oh, my God.
There went 8 Ed Sullivan shows.
Oh, my.
I'm going, whoa. And this is stuff we find out later, you know, doing the documentary is when you start finding out junk, you know, and you start probing and you get answers and you go, what the heck? This is insane. I'm amazed we did as well as we did, really.
Wow. So, well, yeah. Bob, I have to tell you, this is Nancy. I love films and I especially love documentaries. So all 3 of us girls would love to find out your schedule and perhaps come to a film festival.
I'll let you know. We did Paley Center in Beverly Hills. The Paley Center is a place you have in New York City, and we were wondering if they might do it there, too. But I'll keep you posted. You know, when the next one comes, I'll just fire you an email and let you know, especially if it's nearby. But you know what? I have a copy. It's 95% done. I'm going to put another song in the credits, but 95%, that's an A plus almost, you know,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So I can mail you, I'll mail you guys a copy, you know, if you want to, when we're done, you give me some kind of address, I can mail it. So I'll mail you a copy of it.
All right, we'll do that. Now,
yeah.
I also would like to put in a plug for your upcoming events. Tomorrow evening, you're in Woodland Hills?
Oh, me personally? Yes.
Yeah.
I forget, you're all over the place.
Right.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm in Woodland Hills at Pickwick's Pub from 9 to 1. And it's just me, solo artist, you know, 4 hours of Beatles and all the 60s groups, including our own. Now, then Saturday night, I'm with the Bob Castle Band. I have a band out here. Not my family, because we do more national work, and Susan's in New Orleans and Paul's in Oregon. That's hard. But my local band plays at the Fox and Hound pub in Studio City from 9:30 to 1 on Saturday night. And I'm every Friday at the Pickwick's pub. I have been there 26 years at this
wow.
pub every Friday.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
I was only supposed to go there for a summer. I said, what a nice place to sing for a summer. And then 26 years later, I'm still there.
Yeah, it's a place to go every day.
It's pretty cool, though. Pubs are fun. You know, people are fun.
Yes, they are. All over the world. Now, Bob, that's what's nice about being on Artists First World Radio Network. We are international, so you have people listening to you right now in France, India, Germany.
I just love that. You know, we did a tour of Germany in 1971 or 70, I can't remember. We went and toured all of our military bases and little places here and there, and then we went to Italy after that, and we were in the San Remo Song Festival. Now, I'm impressed with your national and international flavor of your show. It's quite impressive. And
especially for our military and their families. So saying hello to them, and we love you and thank you. But real quick before we go,
mm-hmm.
you know, in your email you mentioned what Paul's doing with Grimm. Can you give a little detail?
Paul is a greensman, he's called, and he works on TV shows. And on Grimm, he works on Grimm now, which is a popular show right now. It got renewed. And he worked on all the Twilight movies also. In fact, he built, I don't know if you know these movies, but in the first Twilight, he built the baseball field that the vampires were playing baseball on at night.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Love
that movie.
Yeah, and he says it's real fun to work like that and work on that kind of stuff. He's a pretty talented craftsman in that area.
That's great.
So he does that.
What about Susan?
Susan's still jamming down in New Orleans and doing what I do in Woodland Hills. She plays all over the place. John, I don't know if you saw the Grammys on Sunday night, but you know John drums with the Beach Boys. So the drummer you saw was our brother John up there flying his hair all over the place. So we thought that was pretty cool. He got to go to the Grammys and be on the Grammys. So he's on that reunion tour with them. They got a 50th anniversary thing going. So he's doing real good, too. He's doing great. But he'd rather be in our band. But we're not the Beach Boys, and we can't play 200 nights a year and play for 2 hours, and every single song was one of our hits. It's only four groups that can do that anyway, and the Beach Boys.
Well, we love your songs, and...
Thank
you so much for joining us. We are just thrilled. We're going to have a link on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website so people can click and find out more information about your film.
Oh, that'd be great. You can go to castle.com and if you go to our website, there's things there to keep you informed, too. So I really appreciate you girls, Nancy, Lisa, and Betty Ann. I can't wait to see you at BB King's Monday, September 17th.
We're there.
We're
going to
be there.
Pom-poms, pom-poms.
We're going to be ready.
We're
going to
do it.
Everyone heard it. Everyone heard it now. We got a lot of witnesses.
We have some beautiful pink ones that sparkle.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, good. Now, would you join us again, perhaps in the spring?
What's that, in the spring what?
I'd love to have you join us again in the spring.
Oh, yeah, anytime. Just holler out. Now, I love your show and love being on it.
Thank you.
I would have loved that fashion, on that fashion segment, but they're right. These girls, they look like waifs, you know, little waifs, little porcelain people, but tall and big.
Do you have any more gigs or anything going on in the Northeast coming up? Any more festivals or anything?
Just the night, right now, just we have booked September 16th, the night before BB King's, will be at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. Yeah, but other than that, nothing going on right now.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, girls. You guys are awesome.
Thank you for the Valentine. You sent us a beautiful Valentine email.
Well, I had to remember, for crying out loud. I mean, I like Valentine's Day. I'm okay with that. I'm kind of evolved in that direction.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, we're going to play your song again as we go to commercial break. Thank you, Bob Cowsill. We love you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye,
love
Bob.
You too. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Bobo, you're going to have you on before that.
Well, we're thanking our sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. Remember, you can enjoy all of our archives. They're free to download. Just click on a show date and enjoy. Again, we're proud to be on Artists First World Radio Network. Stay tuned. We're going to be joined by Laura Geller of Laura Geller Makeup. Enjoy the music of the Cowsills.
She simply caught my eyes.
I love the fly.
I love the girl. She seems so sweet and kind. She crept into my mind.
To my mind.
I knew I had to say hello.
Hello, hello.
She smiled up at me. Suddenly the sun broke through.
See the sun.
I turned around, she was gone.
Where did she go?
All I had left was one little flower in my hand. But
I knew
she had made me happy.
Happy, happy. She had made me happy.
Flowers in her hair. I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on her. She didn't seem to care. She sat there and smiled at me. Then
I knew
she could make me happy.
Happy, happy. She could make me very
happy. Flowers in her hair.
And now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live on the Artists First World Radio Network.
Well, hello, everyone. I'd like to introduce celebrity makeup artist Laura Geller of Laura Geller Makeup. She is always seen on QVC. Welcome, Laura.
Hi. I'm so excited to be with the girls, and I hope everybody's out there tuning in and having fun with you all.
So what's happening? How are you?
I'm great. We're working on lots of really cool things that you guys are going to totally be jazzed about. Some very exciting product development ideas that are going to be coming out. And I'm about to have shows next week on QVC, and then I'm going right off to London to do QVC like 2 days after.
Wow.
Keeping me busy.
London.
Sorry?
Do you get to do anything in London other than work when you get there? Do you get to do a little sightseeing?
Yes. I always manage to grab a little time. I love the city. I just do. But I've been going to London almost 8 years now. So I've done the sightseeing, and I've really, seen more than I needed to see at this point. And because I have Daniel, and everybody who doesn't know, I have an 11-year-old son, I try to go and do my shows and get right back home.
Yeah. Well, Laura, the products that are popular in the U.S., are they the same products that are popular over there? I mean, do they like the same stuff that we like?
You know, it's such a good question. Nobody's ever asked me that. I'll tell you. What's popular everywhere is the formulation that we've recreated, which, of course, we're known for, which is the baked products that are made out of Italy. However, there's a huge differential in what the British woman in the United Kingdom loves and what the women here in the United States love when it comes to color. So, for an example, I can't get them enough shimmered products like eyeshadow. They love it to sparkle and shine. And lip gloss. They love lip gloss with a lot of like sparkle and shine in it. Mm-hmm. But here in the States, one of the most common complaints from women is that they don't want to see a lot of shimmer in their eyeshadow.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. And then also in Europe, I find that the women there take risk more. And so they'll wear bolder colors, and they're attracted to, you know, like we all are attracted to bright colors. You go shopping, you get a catalog, you see bright green and orange, and you think it's really beautiful, but you probably wouldn't dare to put it on. They do.
So do you think they're setting the trends over there, and then we're following along?
You know, no.
You think?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think, you know, they look to us, and I think that's why American brands, Western brands, you know, resonate in Europe and Asia and the Middle East a lot. They do look to us as being, you know, fashion forward and the capital of fashion and alike. But I think that we also, there is some takeaway for me when I come back from Europe. And I think, like I said, I think they do take a little more risk when it comes to fashion, definitely. But I don't know that they set the trends for us. I think there's a takeaway that each of us give each other, but I can't say that they're doing it completely.
Well, I have one of my favorite items, products that you make is the Spackle Under Makeup Primer.
Yeah.
And I love it because it just, after I put that on my face, it kind of like seals in my whatever moisturizer I put on, and then my foundation goes on like so smooth. Like, what exactly does that do, and why does it make everything else look so good?
Well, I'm always glad when I have the opportunity to speak to, you know, what a product does when I speak to you guys, especially because you guys give me such a great platform to do that. So thank you. Because, Betty Ann, I think it's so important that women know that under makeup primer is not just another item that the makeup industry is saying that they want you to spend your money on. Under makeup primer is one of the best known creations that has happened to the makeup industry today. And when it's formulated with the ingredient mix that we have come up with, for an example, I'll give you a perfect example. One of the ingredients is something called silicone. There are derivatives of silicone that you hear called dimethicone. And a lot of women, you know, never were concerned about it. Now some women always, you know, ask, is that a safe, you know, ingredient to use on my face? That active ingredient starts as a mineral from the earth. It's a natural resource, silicone, dimethicone. And what it does when it's formulated in the consistency of this cream, it actually floats. It doesn't penetrate into the skin. It floats on the skin. So you're putting on a product that feels like silk and helps to smooth the skin and make your skin feel resurfaced. But the most important reason why you wear under makeup primer is it stops your makeup from penetrating. It prohibits your makeup from penetrating into your skin rapidly. So it seals in anything you put under it. So like you just said something so smart. Like you said, you put your moisturizer on. When you put it on top, it feels like it's, what did you say, like it's setting it in?
Like it feels like it's, like I put my moisturizer on and then I put the primer. And it feels like my face is sealed.
Right, and that's exactly like what it's doing. That you are so correct. That's exactly what it's doing. It's sealing in your moisturizer, So the benefit to you is that your moisturizer is really much more effective and is able to really work harder for you. And then your makeup goes on so much smoother. I mean, you know, when I started out in the industry, I don't want to date myself, but it's well over 30 years, we were taught when I studied theater and film makeup, which is how I started, that you never put anything emollient on the skin. No moisturizer, nothing. Because the makeup needed to hold up for hours under hot lights when you made up your, you know, celebrities. And that was fine when you knew you were doing it for a show or a film, but it wasn't, it didn't feel good and your skin really suffered for it because there was no formulations that existed back then that did what under makeup primer does. And so we all grew up putting our moisturizer on and then putting our makeup on top of it. And we weren't harming ourselves by any stretch, but it's why your makeup maybe didn't look as smooth as it does now and last as long.
Yeah, it's really smooth, and it actually, like, kind of fills in the cracks, so you don't look too wrinkly.
You don't have any cracks!
it's like a miracle.
Now, spackle, the real spackle, does fill in cracks, which is why I aptly named it spackle. I must tell you, I never thought when I named that product as, you know, it was always a tongue-in-cheek expression. We all said, you know, I need more than makeup today. I need some spackle on my face. But it's really taken on a life of its own, that name. I mean, there's some very famous celebrities that use this product and have talked about it and on national television. So I've been very proud of the fact that the name really has, you know, sort of paved the way, as you will, for a lot of people talking about such a really cool item.
Oh, I put it, I mean, I put it on my neck, I put it on my chest.
Oh, good! No, that's good!
Smooths everything out. It's like my secret, except now it's not a secret anymore.
Well, I hope you're wearing the 4 ounce size, you know, wearing the 4 ounce. I hope you're getting the 4 ounce whenever we have them on, you
know,
QVC.
Oh, yeah, I have the big one. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the giant one.
Yeah.
That's the one I get.
The super size. The one that you can dip your body in and not feel guilty about it. You're so cute. Wait, did you ever try it on the back of your hands?
No.
Oh,
I do. I will.
Oh, it makes it nice and smooth.
Oh.
I'd love it.
Even if you don't have a chance to put your hand moisturizer on and your hands are feeling dry, put this on. It's filled with aloe vera and chamomile, so there's tons of botanicals and antioxidants. It is a humectant. It's a moisturizer, but because of the silicone ingredient, it really resurfaces your skin and hydrates your skin at the same time. It feels so good.
Yeah, that's really good stuff, Laura, I'm telling you.
I know. Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, we have exciting things coming out even in the Spackle franchise. I can't say more than that because my product development team will absolutely have my head if I tell you more. But
okay.
Suffice it to say, just when I thought that you couldn't do spackle in more than one or two colors, you know, we currently have 4 colors right now,
mm-hmm.
4 different tints, I should say. And, well, that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
But good stuff rolling out for the spring.
I'll just keep my eyes out for the new version.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely keep you clued in.
Okay, like, that sounds good.
So does anybody have any pressing makeup questions? I love when I get the opportunity to talk to these beautiful women.
Yes, I'd like to ask you about false eyelashes.
What about false eyelashes?
Do people, I mean, does everybody wear them like every day now? Is that like a daily thing, or is that just like for dress up when you go out? You put the mascara on, you put it on and on and on. My eyelashes are kind of long, but they still, you have that pretty, a lot of people have that fabulous look. Is it because they have false eyelashes on?
Well, I tell you, you know, it's interesting. So many people are using these lash-enhancing products now that, you know, they're liquids that you put on the base of your lash, and they help to sort of grow your lashes. And so you may be actually seeing a lot of people with longer lashes because they're using some of these lash-enhancing products. And at one point, I would have told you that it's really great and it looks really good. But I think that there's something about it that if you use it too much, believe it or not, your lashes will grow, but they don't look very natural. The way they grow is not really, nobody's lashes were ever meant to be that long. So it almost looks like you're trying to embellish, and it doesn't really have that sort of natural flutter that I'd like to see women really get through a good mascara. And when it comes to lashes, I got to tell you, unless you don't have any more of your own, unless you just are fighting with the fact that you have never had lashes, they don't curl up, no matter what you've tried or what mascara you've tried, you can't make them visible, I would tell you that using a pair of fake lashes every day is the way to go, if it's in that case. Because they're easy a strip to put on once you get the hang of it, and they really do restore a bit of confidence and vanity, because there is nothing like having a beautiful set of lashes. That being said, if you don't mind putting on a couple coats of mascara and enhancing your own lashes, and they're still there and they're visible, I'd much prefer to see it go that way.
Okay.
Yeah, Laura, this is Nancy. Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa, were you still going?
Well, yeah, I just answered about the mascara. I wanted to ask her one other thing about eyeliner.
Go ahead.
You think black is a universal color for everyone, or do you think, because they're selling all these crazy colors now, blues and greens, like bright colors, would you suggest those for everybody, or that's more for like young kids, model-y type?
Yeah, well, first of all, I do think black is universal, in answer to your first question. I do know that a lot of my fair and porcelain beauties have said to me, you know, Laura, I really have to be honest, I don't like black. It's too dark for me. Can't you come up with a dark brown?
Mm-hmm.
But by the time you put dark brown on your lashes, it's really not much different than looking at black. And for me, the darker the lash, the better. So with that said, you know, I prefer black on everybody. I've always used black on no matter what color people's skin tone is or hair color. And with the new colored mascaras, you know, we have created, and we're actually working on some new things too, like blues and greens and aubergines. But when we've created them, we did them so dark that you don't really see those colors. You get a hue of the color. It's almost like, you know, in certain lights, you see a peak of the color coming through, which is very pretty because it's subtle. And I think for me, I think not being a makeup artist who likes people to look like they're wearing makeup, I prefer that. But when those colors are done in a way where you just see blue or you just see purple, there's some that are even red, I'm like mystified by, I would have to say that's a much younger demographic that would be bold enough to wear that and sport it and look sort of on trend. I just don't think that that's for, you know, a successful career woman or a stay-at-home mom, or, you know, that wouldn't be my choice of colored mascaras to use on somebody, most women.
Well, thank you for, you know, clearing that up. This is Nancy. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Nancy. Good to talk to you, too.
Great. Well, we need to get back to New York City. I need a little help. Yes. Forever, the eyeliner that I put on, I don't know what's happening, but it loves to travel all the way down below my eyes.
That's a
so
hard one.
What do you think? What do you suggest?
Oh, yeah. These are, and all these, you know, questions and comments are so important, because I think, got to tell you, Nancy, you're not alone. So there's so many things I could say to that. You know, there are women now whose lids are sort of hooded, you know, that means like you don't see your lid so much anymore. You've got a lot of extra skin on the top of your eye, and when you put liner on, it's sort of like you close your eye and open it, and you've got this sort of half moon shaped line on your lid. It transfers there, or it runs down below, like in your case. So I would say to you a couple things. One, are you putting on, when you make up in the morning, all right, do you have eye cream or a moisturizer around your eyes before you make up?
Yes, I think that's my problem.
Yeah, maybe just leave it off the bottom. You know, I would probably tell you not to put it on at all. I mean, if you really want to hear it from the horse's mouth, if you need your makeup to last and not travel, you've got to make sure the skin around that area, it's sort of like you want to look moist there, but you compromise having your makeup sort of, you know, sort of emulsify and wear down. So try it 1 or 2 days without putting your eye cream on. See if it still travels. If it's still traveling, and it's not the eye cream that's a problem, do you know about my waterproof? You have to know about my waterproof eye spackle.
Oh, that's what I need to get.
Oh, I do. I use it.
Yeah, Betty Ann does.
Betty Ann, do you know about it?
Oh, yeah. I'm all spackled up, Laura. The eyes, the lips, the face. I do the neck. I'm telling you.
Betty Ann, why are you so how could you be holding out on Nancy? Nancy, didn't you ever share this with Betty Ann?
Oh, well.
We never talked about it, I don't think.
Oh,
we talk about spackle mostly.
I've been using spackle for like at least a year.
Well, you know,
every day.
The waterproof eye spackle is probably not even a year old. Maybe it's going on a year old. We had eye spackle before that was used on your eyelid and below your lower lash line where you would put liner on. But we made it waterproof now. It's in a click pen. And it comes in two colors, fair light and medium and deep. And medium deep will just match your skin. It's like a perfect match. But the lighter one sort of gives a little bit of brightening property to it. And so you could even, if you had to wear eye cream, you could. But you take this eye spackle, right? It's a very thin, thin, thin layer. You put it all over your eyelids, on the inside corner of your eyes where your bridge of your nose is, where everybody gets dark. And you apply it under your lower lashes, too. And some people are using it as concealer also because it's so thin, so it doesn't get thick and settle into, as Betty Ann would call it, the cracks on your face. So you put this on all over, and it sets your makeup, and your makeup doesn't move. It's incredible. I mean, I have people with watery eye syndrome, with sensitive eyes. This product has changed their lives.
Yep. Well, that's me. Ask Lisa. Lisa always sees me. My eyes are watering. And my makeup's not moving.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. I'm so happy
to hear that. I even put drops in my eyes and the makeup stays.
Oh, my.
Well, I need that. So when we come to New York, I'm going to buy that from you. Ms. Laura Geller, you're fabulous.
Listen, you know what? We're no different. Not one of us, and not the celebrities that you see on the red carpet either. We all have the same needs, and we all need to know the right tricks. And trust me when I tell you, because we're all real women, I'm always working on products that solve real women's issues. And I'm more about that than, you know, what's the latest, funkiest eyeshadow color? You know, that's just not what my brand philosophy is all about.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for coming on tonight because we love you and you know that.
Oh, we love
and
you too. Listen, when you come back to
New York again.
When you come back to New York, you're bringing pastries again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From Turley's Bakery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And definitely put on your calendar. What was the date?
September 17th? Monday night, September 17th. And I'll be going on QVC that night. You have to come with us to the council.
No.
Oh, okay. No. I think we're going to have a lot of other people joining us now that you've announced it.
Oh, good.
I know.
17th.
Let's just make it a
place. We're going to see the council. And you'll get to meet them. And we're going to dance on stage.
You're going to dance on stage. Great.
And we're going to be wearing our spackle, the Laura Geller spackle.
That's right, so you can perspire while you're dancing on stage.
Can we spackle on our legs? Does it work on our legs?
Well, Betty Ann probably does it. I have a feeling Betty Ann puts it everywhere.
I don't put it on my legs, but I do put it on
stomach.
In my neck, my chest, my face.
Listen, I've heard people put it on their legs and then they use my baked body frosting right on top, so and the answer to that question is, yes, you can.
Oh, good.
That's a good idea.
You're a strong woman. You could do whatever you want. Thank you for talking to me tonight.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch.
Okay, silly girl.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye. We love you. We're tweeting. We're tweeting all night about you.
Oh my God. Well, make sure you tag that Laura Geller page. We just hit 30,000 girls.
Good.
We love
it.
So we're gonna have to have a party for that. We'll see you.
India that just hooked up with you on Facebook too.
Who?
A friend from India.
Oh, my gosh.
Right now. Yeah.
Oh, my
We got it going on.
We're global. There's no stopping you guys. All right, kids. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. It's always wonderful to have Laura Geller on our show. And speaking of that, we are thanking our sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and of course, St. Croix Orthopedics. A great big thank you to Corey King, our producer, for not only producing our show, but making our website look fabulous. Check it out, everyone, after we're done, you're done listening. And please take time to enjoy the Corey King Show on Artist First every Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
And thanks to our guests, Bob Kalfill of the Kalfills and Laura Geller. I'm inviting you to join to listen to our archives. You just go to our webpage, scroll down to the date you'd like to listen to, click on the, and just enjoy our show while you're playing on Facebook or doing work. We have Dr. Jennifer Berman, there's Davy Jones, of course Laura Geller's been on a couple times, and Bob Castle's been on a couple times, and Jeff Ashton, the prosecuting attorney from the Casey Anthony case. So enjoy our archives.
Well, thank you for joining us, everyone. It is Heart Health Month, and I'd like to leave you with a little quote. Always listen with your heart. Even though it's on your left side, it's always right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
She seems so sweet and